May he who began a good work in you continue it till the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue it on to completion. Amen. We meditate on the first of the scripture lessons from Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 11. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.'" This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, our living Redeemer, your co-heirs of Christ in his suffering and his glory. The tall cornfields around our suburban neighborhood suggest that we are all a bit hypocritical. Look out there and watch the farmer plowing his fields and think how beautiful it is to live in such a wonderful spot on God's green earth that you can watch the man till the land and bring in the harvest. And we watch from our windows across our lawns and we don't ever stop to think, what does it look like from his side of the fence? When he used to look across those same fences and see neighbors' fields all the way to the forest and the horizon. And now that poor man, you imagine the dismay he must have felt when his neighbor sold to the developers? And now instead of looking at fields of green, as we do, he's looking at our yards and our back windows and wondering whatever happened to my little spot on God's green earth. We all want that. And we don't want anybody else to move in around us so that they have it too. And Job had it. Job had a little spot on God's green earth all by himself. Because his family was gone. His wife didn't want to be around him because his breath stank. And these friends that come from a distance, they must have helped coin that phrase, "With friends like these, who need enemies?" Little spot, all alone. Do you know how he felt? Because it doesn't take nearly as much to get us to the point of Job with what happened in his life. Nothing like that before we are right there. Maybe anybody here today questioning God? Women tend to get their fulfillment from their relationships. So who is this man who promised to love and cherish and honor me till death parts us? Why is it no matter how hard I work and clean and cook and wash, that nobody seems to really understand and care how much it takes to keep this household going? And why is it that whenever I finally get some close friends, it seems like they move away or just stop calling. And don't the relatives ever really care to come and visit? Am I the only one who cares? Why me, Lord? Most men would rather skip the relationships except for that one. And what happened to her? 5 minutes ago, she was friendly. What happened to that beautiful young bride who stood there and promised to love and cherish and honor me till death parts us? Why does it seem like no matter how hard I work, it's never enough for her, whether it's what comes in by the paycheck or the time we get to spend together? And don't the children seem to realize how hard one has to work in order to just pay the bills and keep things going? And how can you work so many years for one company and still have the boss and the owner and co-workers not seem to care one bit what their decisions do for my life? Lord, what did I do to deserve this? And are my parents really so old that they don't remember what it was like to be a teenager? Every time I feel like I'm getting just a little bit closer to having a little more freedom, more time to spend with my friends, I run smack into this rule of another sort that just curtails my energy. They don't seem to care. They don't seem to know. And what about my friends? Why do I always have to call them? And why do they get together without me? What do I have to do to... Lord, what did I do that it seems like nobody cares about me? Questioning God. Takes a lot less to get us there than it did Job. This oldest book of the Bible is right here where we hurt. In this oldest book of the Bible, it really predates Moses writing Genesis through Deuteronomy. Because Job lived in the time of Abraham, 2200 B.C. Moses wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 1500 B.C. You know, you count down till Christ. About the beginning, yes, but this book is older. And it's all about suffering. It's all about questioning God. It's all about this man who from the very first chapter is called by God a righteous man. God looked at him, saw faith in Jesus, the coming Messiah, and declared this man to have everything he needed to get into heaven. Righteous complete. Same word is used for Noah. Righteous complete in the sight of God. He didn't know it at the time. But when they had a little convocation up in heaven with the angels, Satan was there, and twice God asked about Job. You considered my servant Job? Twice. And the first time God allowed Satan to take away everything of his family, one windstorm, children die, houses destroyed, all of his livestock carried off or killed, fields devastated. And the Lord asks again, well, he didn't curse me, Satan, the way you said he would. He's held on to his integrity. What do you think of that, Satan? Well, you take away his life and his health, he'll curse you to your face. Well, go ahead. Don't kill him. I don't understand that. I cannot explain why God would say that. Get an inkling here and there with all the lessons I learned from it. God knew how it would turn out. He knew what he could do in the life of Job and our lives too. That's the answer, really. But when Job got to that point throughout this long argument, as my third grade son said it, one long argument, Dad, three cycles of these three friends, all with one point in mind, to somehow prove that this man Job must have done something really, really bad, some terrible sin. And now he's answering to it, to the Almighty for what he's done. Ever feel like questioning God? What did I do to deserve this? That's what Job talks about all through there, wondering, tell me, God, if only I could talk with him, I'd find out. All these questions for God. So you want to question God? Brace yourself. Hebrew says, gird up your loins. We would say, put your pants on and tie up your shoelaces. Maybe you're going to need a hat and coat too. Because off in the distance, you can hear the thunder. This storm is coming, and there's lightning in that. You brace yourself, Job. Brace yourself like a man. Because then the Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Will you really question me? The Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? First time, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy? Brace yourself when you're questioning God. He will only listen just so long, and then he will answer. But the answer may not be what you thought it was going to be, as it was for Job here. We'll turn this thing around, the Lord says. I'll question you. You tell me what you know. Where were you at Earth's creation? One Christian commentator, looking at what follows in chapter 38 through 41, said, you know, the Lord is firing all these questions at Job. There's at least 50 of them. Scientific questions that modern science still hasn't answered. In fact, we have a hard time even figuring out exactly what the questions were. The Hebrew in Job is so ancient that when the translators in about 200 or 300 B.C. of the Septuagint, the 70 Jewish translators, trying to get the Hebrew into the Greek, they apparently skipped quite a few sections in there, and all the scholars can figure is there was ancient Hebrew. They weren't sure what it meant. So the Greek version in the Septuagint of Job is shorter than the accepted Hebrew version. And yet God gets his point across and preserves his word. Because over time, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, more ancient Hebrew, more examples of other ancient texts, so that finally when the New International Version and other, like NASB, New American Standard Bible, they come along and try to translate this ancient Hebrew, we can do better at least understanding what the questions are. Doesn't mean we have answers for all these scientific questions. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? Who would have thought about it that way except the Creator who was there? When I made the clouds its garment, God made the clouds like a garment, like clothing, to wrap around the earth. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. This is so passive, the way we have to try to get it across in modern English, because when it says fixed limits for it, in the ancient Hebrew, it says, when I shattered or broke the boundaries to put them in place. There's violence in this word. There was something that happened that violently made the seas go just this far and no farther when I said, you may come to here. And here is where your proud waves stop. What happened that took what the geologists figure was the original continent to split that into the continents that we see today, where North America and South America could fit up against Europe and Africa quite well, and they're way over here, and the seven seas between them. What happened to the Eretz? Bereshit Elohim Eitha Shemayim Ve'Eitha Aretz, the earth. There's reason to believe, even from a scriptural standpoint, that one continent was made into the continents that we see today. After the flood, there was a man named Peleg, about four generations after Noah in the line of Shem. Peleg means division, for in his days the earth was divided. Bible-believing scientists think that somehow at that point, God did this massive, violent breaking up of the land. Remember, he told them to scatter throughout the world, fill the earth and subdue it. And they said, no, we'll stay here and build this Tower of Babel. The Lord confused their languages, turned it to a tower of babbling. They couldn't understand each other. They scattered, and it seems like right after that, that the Lord, whether by, I don't think he did it through meteors, but he could have said the word however he wants to do it. He digs a deep rift in the middle of the Atlantic that we can't find the bottom of, and pushes up the Rocky Mountains in the American continents all the way down into South America. And mountains there too. And the Himalayas on the other side. All these massive changes. And he says to Job, who must have been living very close and within memory of that time, where were you when I did that? I put the limits on the ocean. And when you and I are questioning God, maybe it's just time that we get away from our peaceful cornfields and go to a rocky coast someplace. The North Shore will do in the month of November. Because those waves out there will sink our biggest ships, like the Edmund Fitzgerald. Waves that will break ships in half. You just sit there on the rocks for a while and think about that, that there are the waves rolling in off of a great lake. And they were there long before 1975 when that great ship went down. And they've been pounding those rocks and pounding those rocks over all that time, and the rocks are still there. Because those are the limits where God said, your proud waves, halt. And maybe then you and I can ask ourselves that question, is this where the proud waves of my questioning God ought to halt? Brace yourself like a man. Recognize your limits when questioning God. It stops right here. God, why is this happening to me? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But why me, Lord? Why at this time? Why does it seem like you're sleeping in the back of the boat? Quiet. Be still. So where is your faith at a time like this? What we find as we look back, and the older we get, this is what I love about elderly Christians. They'll tell you these stories about the times when they were really up against it. Times that they needed to be in that situation, because it is in the depths of our despair and the difficulties of our life that we see the power and love of God as no other. Everybody knows the most famous quote from Job. It's just that most people don't know who said it and when he said it. But it was in Handel's Messiah. They wrote about it in famous music. And in typical Hebrew fashion, you start the book and you're climbing a mountain and it's so steep and uphill. Why God? Why me? And there in what looks like Job's deepest, darkest depression is the summit of this book. And the words that you all know, because you hear them every year at Easter. I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the end, the latter day, he shall stand upon the earth. I will see him for myself with these eyes, even after this body is corrupted and rotted away. These eyes will see him, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. At the depths of Job's depression is the height of his confession. And your worst days and mine are the best days to be close to God. It doesn't matter how many of these doubting questions come like waves on my heart and yours. They come again and again. But they cannot wash away the cross on which the Prince of Glory died, and the blood that sanctifies our questions and our fears and washes them all clean. It doesn't matter how many of the world's people, in all their good health and riches and wise intelligence, professing themselves to be wise, who become fools, come with all these questions that we can't answer again and again, because all those questions, like waves, can't move that one stone that the angel rolled away from the mouth of that grave, an empty grave that still proclaims that Christ is risen indeed. Not even death could hold him. He conquered sin, death, and hell for you and me. In my darkest days, this is when I see that God can never lie, that I can fully trust him in what he put in the oldest book of the Bible and all the way through Revelation, same message. No answer to Job about why, except God's love, God's power, God's wisdom, God's viewpoint from all eternity. Your darkest days are just good days to stop and think, maybe my job today with God is to be patient like Job, to just bear with whatever it is, to bear with whoever it is, to be patient and kind and loving like my Lord Jesus Christ, to reach out with this blessed gospel which for his sake I know, though others don't. This is my time. This is my day with the Lord. This is the time when those around me need to hear me say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Because this time is short. Job was blessed in the latter end of his life. All he needed was to say, I repent. That's all the Lord wanted from Job, is just to repent of questioning God, to acknowledge his guilt and receive the Lord's forgiveness in that great Redeemer, and then to sacrifice and pray for these friends who didn't have a clue about what God is really like or what he really thinks. Because there wasn't some particular sin for which God was punishing Job. In fact, you look at the cross and you see why God cannot punish you again for any sins. His Son paid for them. To punish you again for the same sins, and all of them were punished on Christ, would be to say that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't good enough. The Father will not say that, and neither should we. God has other purposes in mind. When this short time is done, we will finally, for Jesus' sake, come to the other side. And there, on the other side, we will see all the answers in the smiling face of God. Amen. Please rise.